My family has lived in the same house for about 26 years now, which means that I know where all of my beds have been in that house and what is there now. So I walk into one room and I look at it and I remember where the bunk beds I share with my brother were. There's a dresser there now, and no one can sleep there. And I look in the next room, and the bed I used to sleep in isn't in that room anymore. And the last room I had is an office, and the door is locked all of the time. You can go home again, but home changes. It's not just the older brother who maybe is kinder than the older brother in this parable Jesus tells today, who doesn't even want to go into the house to acknowledge that his younger brother has come home. When we come home again, my brothers and I have to sort of rehash all of the fights we had as children to remind ourselves that we're, you know, each other's brothers and sisters. My father really appreciates it. She's looking out my window. So far, we haven't divulged to food fights yet, but I'm sure it will come someday. You can go home again, but it's not quite the same. I spent part of this week wondering what happened the day after the feast in the parable of the prodigal son. Because I can imagine that the older brother might have gone into the feast eventually. His father's pretty persuasive. But the next day, I'm betting he was still holding on to some of the hurt he talks about today. And he didn't forgive and forget as easily as the father wanted him to. And it took a while for the younger brother and the older brother to rebuild their relationship. And I suspect that he wasn't the only one. There are all of those servants and hired hands, and it wasn't a revolving door back then. You had a household, and there was your household that was your family, and then there was your larger household, which was your servants and your hired hands. And that was sort of an inherited position too. So if your father was a servant in someone's house, you were born into that house, and there were good odds you were going to be a servant in that person's house. Sort of, you know, go watch Upstairs, Downstairs on the BBC or something. Yeah. And you inherit not just that position, but you inherit all of the gossip about that family. People know the younger son when he comes home. And the father can welcome him home. And the father can bring out the best robe and kill the fatted calf. But the next morning, all of those things he fears are still there. Going home can be incredibly hard. And he did it anyways. He knows this. He knew this out with the pigs and their slop when he was far away and worried about what he was going to eat. And he still came home. Which is pretty amazing. We talk about this parable so often and we worry about everything the son has wasted. And we amaze over what the father pours over the son when he comes home. But there's a point of grace when the son turns and decides to come home. I think we forget about that morning after the party. Not so much about the hangovers some of the people might have, but about all of those little things that haven't been resolved yet, that have to get worked out in the years after this, that are still hard. And I believe they will get worked out, because that is really what family does. We give ourselves the time to work those things out, because we're family, and you know, you still have to work out that fight you had with your brother when you were both 3 and 5. because you've had to put up with each other every year since then. Or you have to deal with the fact that your father took your brother back, even though he took all of his inheritance and spent it in a foreign land. And then your father took him back, even though you stayed and were faithful. And then you're stuck with him forever. It's kind of the point of the parable. You have to work that one out. But there's another story in all of this. The younger son comes home with stories he has to learn how to tell to people who aren't going to understand them. They all know how to listen to each other's stories. They understand what it's like when the older son goes out into the fields and talks about a hard day's work, or when the maids have a disastrous cleaning experience, or when the father has a bad day or a great day. They have a common language and a common experience. The younger son has left all of that. And he now has experiences and stories outside of their world. And no one else has stood by the pig's trough and been starving and had to decide to come home. And he has to figure out how to tell that story to people who have no experience with that. And they have to learn how to hear that story. It's going to be a long year in this house of prodigals. It's going to be a long year of learning. But it all started when a son who didn't know what else to do was standing in a spot so few people would understand. And he looked around and he said, "I have nowhere else to go but home." And it was made possible when a father who was grief-stricken saw his son coming home and decided to be overjoyed. The family of God is made up of moments like those. And then we have all of this time left to wrestle with these stories that we have to figure out how to tell each other. Stories that we don't always understand. And as Episcopalians, we often have the harder end of that. I was trying to explain this to someone the other day, and their background is not the Episcopal Church. It's Christianity, but it's not the Episcopal Church, and it's a church where people tend to agree more than the Episcopalians do. And I was trying to explain Episcopalians and our particular theologies. They were sort of trying to check me for heresies. Yeah, and I said, "Well, I think you won't consider me a heretic. But there are people I go to communion with every week that you might. There are people I go to communion with every week who would consider you a heretic. Sorry, but, you know, just to be fair. But I like that about my church." And we've had to learn how to live like that and how to tell those stories and how to be a people that can still go to communion together every week. And then we had to discuss what it meant to go to communion because we had slightly different views there. We didn't become friends. We had different views of what it meant to be this body of Christ, which was a little too bad. We might have been good for each other. But the body of Christ, when we are at our best, when we are at our strongest, will become a place where the prodigal son from the far-off land, who has nowhere else to go, can come home and tell the stories that no one understands until we can understand them. because here, someone has gone out to welcome them, even though that action is not understood. Even though they come home to a house where there may not seem to be a room for them right away. Even though they wake up the next morning with all of those stories and memories and rumors that, you know, people tell, because the great challenge of the body of Christ is that it's made up of people. But the great joy of the body of Christ, when we do it right, and we do it wrong more than often enough, but when we do it right, is that we decide to stay long enough to begin to understand all of those things that are not our own in it. All of those stories of the times when we were not the older brother, when we were not the younger son, when we were not the father, when we played the other role in this parable, until we can play and remember all of the times anyone has played any of them. And we can begin to inhabit all of the roles. And it can become a parable for all of us at any time. Amen.